This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. First up today, we're talking about teen pregnancies, social stigma, and how it prevents people from getting the help they need.
Yeah, so this is coming in the wake, really, of the recent stabbing death of a newborn in Kemaman, Terengganu. And basically, Sisters in Islam, among other people actually, are saying that this incident might not have happened if attitudes towards pregnant teens weren't as harsh as they are. And therefore, there is this need to look more holistically at the situation that led up to this moment, right? And how it is that we can address some of those aspects so that it just doesn't happen again.
So it is a really sad situation, but I think it's worth getting into the details of that case just to understand how this happened. So on the 8th of February this year, the police detained a young mother after stab wounds were found on her newborn baby. That mother was a 15-year-old. She had dropped out of school 3 years ago, so about 12 years old. She was also allegedly a rape victim, and the police had also identified the alleged rapist. Further investigation found that the teen had delivered the baby at home while her mother was at work. And then later the teen sought help from a friend to inform a nearby clinic about the birth. When the clinic personnel arrived, they found the baby bleeding. The girl is now under remand for 7 days to facilitate an investigation. So really, even just reading about this, I know a lot of people have been highlighting one specific aspect and, you know, repeatedly saying newborn baby stabbed. But I think it is very important to understand the chain of events that led to something like this happening.
Yeah, I entirely agree, because I think when you talk about that chain of events, right, it's not just what you listed down there earlier. I think it's also all the things that would have contributed to the decision not to, for example, seek medical help or talk to parents and try and find options or try to seek assistance, support, all these things that mothers as a whole need, but teenage mothers in particular, I think, require more of. And so that's where I think this issue of stigma kicks in. Because, of course, if you feel that what you have done is, for example, world-endingly wrong, if this is something that has been drummed into you time immemorial, then, of course, when it happens, you're going to think that you have nobody to go to. And I think that that is where this this call to remove, to lessen, to do away with the stigma is coming from. And of course, because it's such a deeply entrenched issue, talking about it is complex, because it's going to involve so many different things, so many different cultural touchstones, so many different sensitivities. I think starting somewhere, though, is important.
We are going to be speaking to someone from Sisters in Islam shortly, but if you just look at the statement that they put out in a call to address this holistically, according to Sisters in Islam Communications Officer Aleza Othman, she said pregnant teens are often viewed as irresponsible, reckless, and as raised by incompetent parents. She also said generally our society is punitive and judgmental. They make teenage mothers feel alone and scared to seek support. If we look at some statistics, for instance, according to the Ministry of Health, they've recorded a total of more than 41,000 teenage pregnancies between 2017 and 2022. That's just a 5-year period. And 35% of those were out of wedlock. And of course, we then occasionally hear of, you know, incidents like this. But there was also that case last year where an 18-year-old mother was reported to have thrown her baby off the balcony in of her house, because she didn't want her parents to know that she had just given birth. So all of these, again, go back to exactly what you said, Lynn, this deep stigma that prevents us from actually being able to address the heart of the problem.
Which is, I think, why we wanted to get the conversation going. I think just to begin to try to understand how it is that we can move forward on this and involve all the people who need to be involved, because it's everybody, right?
It is everybody, and it is, I think, something that requires everyone to talk about it in not in coded language or, you know, in things like right and wrong, but in terms of what is actually helpful. So that's what we're going to get into after this, and we will be joined by Sharifatul Adiba, who's Senior Program Officer at Sisters in Islam. But we'd like to hear from you. What needs to happen to address the stigma around teen pregnancies? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:13. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Charmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about, well, teen pregnancies and social stigma. This is coming on the wake, of course, of a very sad incident out of Terengganu, where a young mother was, well, essentially a whole chain of events that led to the stabbing of a baby, a lot of fear in terms of what to do with pregnancy. And so we wanted to address that. Sisters in Islam has put out a call for us to manage this better, and we will be joined by them shortly. We would like to hear from you. What needs to happen to address the stigma around teen pregnancies? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Sharifatul Adiba, Senior Program Officer at Sisters in Islam. Sharifatul, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
What do we know about the case involving the young mother in Kemaman?
Okay, based on my reading from the newspaper and the news portal, so the young mother's age about 15 years old. She is a dropout from the school and she was pregnant. But I don't know whether she informed the parents whether she is pregnant or not, but she called for her friends to help her during the day of delivery. And then when the friend called for a help from the nearby clinics, and as soon they come back, the baby has been stabbed by the mother. And it is quite sad.
So, as a response to this, many people, including, of course, yourselves at Sisters in Islam, have been calling for the removal of stigma around teenage pregnancy. So there are several things to unpack here. Firstly, how does this stigma impact the kind of help and support that teenage girls get if they find themselves in the situation and even their willingness to go and look for that help?
Okay, first of all, you know, for Muslims, they are governed by the Sharia law in this country, right? Unfortunately, there is one law that governs Sharia. It is called Sharia criminal offences. And if any unmarried women or unmarried men involved in illicit sex or zina, we call it zina, a heavy penalty will be imposed on them. So this is one of the hindrances why they are afraid of asking for help, go out and talk to their friends that they have involved in so-called sex out of wedlock. And then they don't know whether this this action would lead to unwanted pregnancy or not. And then because of the fear of being penalized by the religious authority, they don't want to go out and talk to people. So they prefer to keep the issues themselves. And this is one of the issue, I can say, the stigma of fear of being penalized by the authorities, by the religious authorities especially, and fear of being mocked by their friends, mocked by their so-called pious Muslim friends. So therefore, they just don't want to talk about it.
In a larger sense, then, how does the stigma impact conversations around sex?
Oh, I mean, casual conversation about sex has always been a taboo in Malaysia. So what more if you want to make it casual? And sex is something that is dirty. And if you try to talk with the elderly, your mother or your parents, even your sister, your brother, will just push you away. So don't talk dirty. Sex is something dirty. But we know that it is not. It is our innate nature that we need to talk. I mean, this is something that God has given to you. And then you try to suppress it. And then it doesn't make sense. And I mean, first of all, you have to overcome the fear for about sex, because you are afraid of being labeled as in Malay we call it gatal, anak dara gatal, or or I mean, you can't contain yourself from talking about sex. So I think there's a lot of taboo or misinformation about sex among young people especially.
So I thought we could also focus on the larger societal impacts of teenage mm-hmm. pregnancies, particularly for the mother and the family.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sex has always been seen as something dirty. And then when we talk about sex, whether it is a kind of action that would lead somebody to get pregnant. But in fact, if you do it properly and then you do it responsibly, the unwanted pregnancy can be prevented. But since it is not being taught widely and openly, so they don't know the impact of having consensual sex, especially how to protect yourself from unwanted pregnancy. And then if you, let's say, unfortunately, your sexual relationship has resulted to pregnancy, then what would happen to the children? So the children later on will get the stigma of being anak tak sahtaraf. It will be labeled as anak tak sahtaraf or children born out of wedlock. And as you know, anak tak sahtaraf in Malaysia will face stigma throughout his or her life until he or she become old. And first, you will be given bin Abdullah rather than your biological father. Then bin Abdullah will carry a lot of stigma to hold your life.
So what are the first steps that we need to take towards destigmatizing this issue? Where can we start?
We at Sisters in Islam feel that comprehensive sexuality education should be made mandatory at the school. Teach young people. I mean, you should start from as early as you could. I mean, it should be in phase. Okay, let's say from this age to certain age, we should teach the children about bad touch, about good touch, and then to protect yourself from any form of harassment by the adult, whether it is adult men or women. And then at a later phase, children should be taught about the activity, the relationship themselves, about the emotion. Because when they are growing up and then they become teenagers, I mean, the feeling of getting to know the opposite sex is there. And then you cannot stop people from falling in love. I mean, nowadays information is at your fingertips. I mean, if they don't get from your parents, from the teacher, they will get from the social media. And then worse still, what more if they get the wrong information from their peers, from the social media, from unauthorized website, that would lead into trouble in future? That would be the worst thing would happen to them. So we believe that comprehensive sexuality education is a must. And then please make this comprehensive sexuality education as a standalone subject. Please do not teach this subject. You incorporate it with the physical education lesson, with the agama lesson, or even with the science subject. It is not properly comprehensive, as we can say.
So who needs to be involved here then to see this through, right? Who are the stakeholders?
The stakeholder first is the parents. Like, parents need to talk. I mean, first they need to overcome the fear, need to overcome all the feeling of not being comfortable to talk about sex with their children. I mean, it is already 2022, and if they are aware that children nowadays will get information from anywhere, everywhere. So rather than getting the wrong information, they should get the first information from the parents, the correct information from the parents. Second would be the teachers, because teachers would be the second parents to relay the correct information. And I think some sort of local authorities and government agencies should be involved as well, especially to form the policy. I mean, this involves the education policy or health policy as well. I mean, to ensure that our children will be protected and safe from any form of abuse or harassment. And then they know their informed decision would make them safe in future. And I think peers will make will contribute as well. But therefore we emphasize that comprehensive sexuality education should start from the school so that everyone get the correct information.
Getting back to pregnant teens, what sorts of health services or legal aid do we currently have available for them?
Okay, so far, as we know, I know that shelter homes do provide, they keep teenage pregnancy. Those who are involved in teenage pregnancy, they will keep them in the shelter until they give delivery. And I know that government agency also have rumah perlindungan as well for children who are pregnant. And NGOs as well have been providing help and also have shelters home for teenagers who are pregnant as well. I know ABIM, IKRAM have shelter homes. And for services like RAM, Reproductive Rights Advocacy and Alliance Malaysia, and FREM, Federation of Reproductive Health Association Malaysia, they will help in terms of counseling, or you can call their hotline to get some help.
So, you know, these reports of teen pregnancies tend to get a lot of attention when they make the headlines. Have we made, however, any progress when it comes to handling this issue on a more long-term basis?
I don't think so, because we keep on reading babies being dumped there and then, or baby dumping issue is endless. I know that baby has been dumped by the teenagers and adults as well, but the big issue here is the unwanted pregnancy. And actually, we can prevent unwanted pregnancy if proper information or proper advocacy being relayed to them. But so far, we have not seen it has been done properly or openly and widely. I mean, there are still resistance from the government agencies, from state and non-state actors, to really recognize and acknowledge this is a social problem that needs a long-term monitoring and evaluation as well.
Adipa, we just have about 2 minutes left. What would you like to see on this moving forward?
Moving forward, I would like to emphasize that comprehensive sexuality education should be made mandatory in schools, primary and the secondary school, and it should be continual, because we need to remind people. Okay, let's say for children, yes, it is a kind of early learning lesson for them, and then for teenagers, because they are in the transition process to become an adult. And for sure, the emotion, the feeling, the interest, the attraction towards other sex is there, and don't deny it. But you have to really know, be responsible to your body. And should you involve in any action in future, make sure you are safe from any trouble.
Adiba, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Sharifatul Adiba, Senior Program Officer at Sisters in Islam, weighing in on really the many things that need to be done in order to manage this issue of teenage pregnancies, and in a larger sense, to be able to remove the stigma around the issue, as well as to be able to talk about sexual health, consent boundaries, and so on. We would like to hear from you. What needs to happen to address the stigma around teen pregnancies? We're getting so many messages already. Do keep them coming. You can call 7733290, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.